Welcome along to the Rugby Pass podcast. The date today, 31st of March, New Zealand time. We are heading into round six of Super Rugby. And after a brief detour to the UK last week to speak to the always delightful Tom Hamilton, we are back with a New Zealand voice on the other side of this podcast today, Mark Stafford of New Zealand's TAB, a rugby raconteur, storyteller extraordinaire, and a man who knows his code, which is why we have him here today. Staffy, let's start with the general marbo, the vibe, the constitution, to use a castle phrase. Are we seeing a clear split between the skill level of the New Zealand sides and everyone else?
Maybe the New Zealand sides and the Brumbies and everyone else. Yes, I do think we are seeing that, which surprises me that on the back of the Rugby World Cup last year, you would think that lessons were learned from there, from namely the All Blacks, on this is how you now play rugby union. Mm. And it doesn't seem that those lessons have been learned. And it's almost, you almost get the feeling that the others are happy to play for second. That kind of marbo feel.
Let's ignore the table for the time being, because I don't think you get a lot of relevance out of a points table at this stage of the season.
Especially with the structure we've got now.
Right, exactly. So if you took the points out of it, if you took the points table out of it, and you just looked at every team individually, what team for you is playing the brand of footy that is going to win Super Rugby? Because I ask that question because so many people say defence wins titles. But I would put to you that defence only wins titles in Super Rugby if you've got the offence to go with it. We've seen that over the last 6 years. The best or second best offensive record in this competition has gone on to win the title.
I know where you're going there. You're expecting me to, and I will say the Chiefs are magnificent on attack. And I relate them to Kurt Warner's days with the St. Louis Rams, and their ethos was, we're going to score 50 points. Catch us if you can.
Right.
And that's the way I see the Chiefs are playing. Their absolute strength is their counter-attack, their little men, the Cruden, Weber. McKenzie is on fire. Dave Rennie knows how to play to his strengths, and that score lots of points and have an efficient defence to keep the opposition under your total. It's pretty simple.
It is a simple brand of code, and you're right. We saw them go to the Kings, put 50 on the Kings. We saw them go to Buenos Aires and have to come back there, but still score 30 points against the Jaguares in Buenos Aires. Then they come back to New Zealand, have a three-day turnaround, and put another 50 on the Force. When everyone expected the Force to be a better proposition with a week in New Zealand.
Including me.
Right, and I'm the same, 100%. But this is the power of that Chiefs side. There is an enormous amount of self-belief, and there's enormous amount of structure in the chaos as well. And I think that's one of the things about the Chiefs that people don't necessarily recognise. People talk about their counter-attack and click play and transition offence, and well, they should. But there's got to be a lot of structure in behind that in order to make those plays work. That's why they're called click plays, because everyone knows exactly where they're supposed to be when you get that turnover ball. And they are not the biggest turnover team in the competition in terms of winning turnover ball. So there's got to be some alchemy here that we can't quite see. What is it?
Yeah, it's that castle thing. It's Marbury. The thing about the Chiefs is, and apologies for the listeners that don't know what the castle is, my favourite movie ever, but...
Don't apologise to them if they don't know what the castle is. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, people poo-poo the cliches, and that's culture, and that's systems, and that's belief.
Chiefs mana!
But that is Chiefs mana, and you can take players out, and like we're going to see this weekend, Charlie Natai out, Daniel Leonard-Brown, he will play his role, he will be effective. May not be quite as dynamic, but they just keep bringing people in who believe in a system. It's wonderful to watch. It's not a hard game, rugby, if you do your job. The Chiefs are all doing their job.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we've got to get to the round ahead. I'm really excited about this round. I think it's a real sorting round. There are a lot of matchups that prima facie don't look like they're exciting, but I think they genuinely are. And why don't we go straight to Canberra, stay with the Chiefs who face the Brumbies. The Brumbies have been to South Africa. They one loss, one win. Never looked convincing on that tour. I don't know whether they just get homesick for Canberra, which would be a miracle. Gosh. But they are invincible at Canberra, and I know the odds on this game. And the Chiefs are priced that way because of the Brumbies' record in Canberra. But they come back from a big tour. Are the Chiefs that much better than the Brumbies that they can go over there now and expect to put 50 on that team?
They'll try. And I guess, you know, the travel factor, the Chiefs have had what will probably be the toughest travel schedule of any non-Argentinian side in the competition this year, and they've beaten the Force by 40. But this, to me, is a massive momentum game. You're right. Everyone's already saying that this, at this stage, should be the final. Both teams know that. Both teams want the psychological edge. They're only going to play each other once in round robin. This is it. This is their mini final.
I totally agree with you. Here's the fact, though. The Brumbies have won 8 and drawn 1 of their last 10 home games against the Chiefs.
Mm.
That is an unbelievable record. I look at the Brumbies and I think to myself, yeah, we talk about the Chiefs having a hidden structure. The Brumbies structure is very obvious. That's front and centre in the way they play the game. It is a break you down, capitalise on your era sort of game plan from the Brumbies. Probably most most similar to the Crusaders without the lateral. Is that the sort of game that can take it away from the Chiefs? If you stay in your structure against them, keep the ball, you technically nullify their program.
I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. Is that structure against the unstructured counter-attack of the Chiefs? If the Chiefs can break it down, and they certainly have the firepower to do it, this is the trickiest defence for the Chiefs to conquer this season, and this is the trickiest attack to annul for the Brumbies this season. Whoever comes out on top in that first 20 minutes is going to make the opposition look at each other and go, oh heck, it's not working. How they respond to that wins this game.
Yeah, well, as I said to Kieran Kane last week, when they played the Force for that first half, the Chiefs chased the ball around like it owed them money. So they've got to settle in pretty quickly in this game. One other thing to note, the scrums are going to have a big impact on the game. I think the Chiefs currently sitting on 6 tries from scrums. That's the most of any team in this competition. We'll leave the affair in Canberra to one side for the moment. Head back to Friday night. Look, it seems like a lopsided affair, this. The Highlanders taking on the Force. The Force are the worst. Dead set worst offense in Super Rugby. You know, looking at them against the Chiefs, they just had absolutely zero to offer. I don't know what the Force have to do, because you cannot rely on Matt Hodgson tackling everything that moves.
And which he does.
But did you see him after the game last week?
I don't know how he gets up week to week.
It's a calamity waiting to happen, Matt Hodgson. They're going to be feeding him through a straw, I reckon, when he's 40. Look, the man puts his body on the line, but it won't be enough against the Highlanders. Where's the offering attack-wise? And I thought Michael Foley had this sorted out. He said there was confidence in the team after the Hurricanes dismantling. They got to the Chiefs. He said the players have got together. They've formulated the plan. Or if there was a plan, I don't know what it was. They are ranked 18th out of 18 for points scored this season.
Yeah, and a massively important game. And I'm not talking about win-loss for the Highlanders, but this is a marker for the Highlanders too. We know they are tough at home. We know Forsyth Barr Stadium is a high-scoring stadium. We know that there's not as many bonus points on offer this year, and they are proving harder to get. Really important they win with a bonus point, and I think that will be the Highlanders' focus. I hope it's their focus. They've got this game in the bag. As we've seen from the Force, especially last week against a team that admittedly they probably couldn't beat, but to get beaten by 40 on a team that's travelled around the world in 8 days.
Wow.
This is massive for the Highlanders. I'm sorry, Force, but you're just not up to it. My focus is on the Highlanders here.
I want to go across to Johannesburg, because this is one of the games we talk about. The Lions will take on the Crusaders at, what do they call that park now? Emirates Airlines Stadium at Ellis Park?
Something like that.
Let's just call it Ellis Park and be done with it. The Lions have only won 2 games against the Crusaders in 9 encounters. The last of those was in 2007. The Crusaders go in there hot because they beat the Sharks, and the Sharks are tough. The Sharks are a nightmare to play. More on them later. But this, to me, strikes as a game the Crusaders are so capable of losing.
Yep, I absolutely agree. I still would argue that the Lions are the best South African side. Spiritually led by Warren Whiteley. I think he is amazing.
There are 3 people in this room, including producer Jose Barbosa, and it is unanimous. Jose is putting his hand up and agreeing with you. Totally, the Lions are the best team in South Africa.
Yep, they are. And interestingly, I don't normally talk about the TAB odds, but the interesting thing that the public have said here, Sumo, is we opened the Lions as favourites. We've seen a massive swing. Not only has the price closed, it's actually changed now, and the Crusaders are favourites. We don't often see a change in favouritism in a day's trading on the markets. But I still, it's very tough. It's very close, this one. I still favour the Lions.
You know, the one thing I think about with this Crusaders side, the Lions' defence needs some work. They are ranked 11th in this competition in terms of their tackle percentage, 84%. When you come up against a team like the Crusaders, best tackling percentage in the competition, put that aside for 1 second. The point is, they pass the ball, they offload the ball, and they run the ball more than any other side in this comp. So that's the big telling point for me in the Lions. Can the Lions get enough of the ball to play with and keep against the Crusaders side that will just keep coming at you?
Yeah, I think if there was a table for heart and commitment, and especially in forward packs, the Lions would be top of the table. Interestingly enough, I think close second would be the Sunwolves, just for absolute commitment.
Sunwolves.
Yeah. The Lions, their passion, they're at home, they're against a marquee side. The crowd will turn up. We know Ellis Park's a hurdle. I know it's not a great historical record against the Crusaders, but this Lions side, I don't think we've ever said a Lions side is the best South African side.
I love them.
Yeah.
You know when we last said the Lions were the best South African side? In the last year before Super Rugby.
Oh, there you
remember
go.
Remember Super 10?
Yes.
Transvaal.
Transvaal.
I remember those.
They've had a lot of names, haven't they?
Yeah. Gauteng. The Golden Cats.
Golden Cats.
The Lions. Well, at least they've settled on the Lions, I suppose. Which brings us we're going to stay in South Africa because we're going to go to Port Elizabeth and Nelson Mandela Bay Stadium for, and I'm dead serious here, bear with me, match of the round. Match of the round. The Kings, who have conceded 157 points combined in their last three matches against teams from outside South Africa, up against the Sunwolves on their first tour of the Republic. I cannot wait for this. I can't wait.
Yeah, this is brilliant, isn't it? Because you've got to like... Well, I love the Sunwolves.
Who doesn't?
I love their passion. And I said it just moments ago. And the Kings, you know, their skipper played his 100th last week. In his post-match interview, he choked up. He loves the game of rugby union. And they tried everything they could. They couldn't have played better last week, and they got flogged.
Oh, right. That's, you know, it's a punish for sentimentalists.
Yeah.
Watching the Sunwolves, because you wanted them to beat the Cheetahs, you wanted them to beat the Bulls, unless you're a fan of the Cheetahs and Bulls, obviously, and they just couldn't find that one last play, the one little bit of consistency that gets them wins. But mate, how many losing bonus points are they going to claim this year? Plenty.
Yeah.
They've got to win this game. I'm all in on the Sunwolves. In this game.
The Sunwolves remind me of me in 1981 at the Palmerston North Boys High C basketball team, and I had free throws 3 weekends in a row to win a game.
Oh, you,
and I blobbed them
no,
all.
No, you did not.
I blobbed them all.
Oh, that's humiliating.
I still remember it.
I bet your teammates do as well.
Mm.
Oh, that's our match of the weekend. The Kings taking on the Sunwolves. I know it doesn't sound right. I'm just going to skip over the Bulls Cheetahs.
Yeah.
And there's a reason I'm going to do this, because the Cheetahs are a ridiculous rugby team. They've got no excuse to play the way the Cheetahs play. There's no excuse at all, unless they go back to the drawing board every week and then misplace the drawing board. I can't understand. I cannot follow what the Cheetahs are trying to achieve. All I'm saying to the Cheetahs is give the ball to Sergio Pederson.
Yes.
That's basically your one-trick pony.
Yeah, yeah. They are very hard to follow. I really enjoyed them sort of 2 years ago. A little bit last year, but I'm with you. They're rudderless this year. I've got no idea.
Yeah, there's a point though where comedy just gets a little bit boring. You know, like your team turns up like the Cheetahs, and it's just funny because you enjoy watching them. They're entertaining, and then all of a sudden you go, get a new gag.
Yeah,
I've heard the joke. I've seen it. I've watched it play. It's like an endless Laurel and Hardy skit with that team. I don't know. It's slapstick. The Bulls, I think we're always unfair on the Bulls, but to be honest with you, I've got no hope for the Bulls this season, none at all. Not even at Loftus.
No, so many teams fall back on that rebuilding phase, rebuilding culture, that sort of thing. But it is a very young side, and when you lose these big names, the Bulls haven't got the replacements that the likes of a Crusaders side have got when they lose their guys.
But that's an interesting point. Why is that? Because here's a team that 7 years ago was Super Rugby champion. Yeah, and the likes of Pierre Spies and Mornay Steyn and Fury Dupria and all of these players, you know, where's your succession planning? Pretoria was a hotbed of young talent. They had a great youth program. Where's that all gone?
They didn't go to the Reds because they suffered the same fate, didn't they?
They totally did. The Reds, serendipitously have a bye, so we don't have to talk about them, as do the Sharks. Waratahs, they look bad. And you talk about succession planning and moving on after championships. How far south of their best are the Waratahs looking right now?
Yeah, you watch them every week and you say, oh, they'll come right, they'll click. I mean, they were within a whisker of the finals last year.
Right.
And they've been competing. They haven't changed personnel that much. And I'm trying to put my finger on what has changed them. The biggest change is coaching, I guess you could say. But it's almost like they are playing like they are looking around waiting for someone to do it. And no one's doing it.
I totally agree with you, and it's a great point you make about coaching. Daryl Gibson knows his stones. Let's not doubt that. But I just wonder if there's a mentality in New South Wales rugby. It's riven with politics. Mm. New South Wales rugby, for starters, they strike me as a team that says, I don't want to prove anything to my coach because he's not the Wallaby coach.
Yep.
And I know that may seem very unfair.
No, that's a good point.
You know, they go, well, I'm in with Czech here, so what have I got to prove at New South Wales level? And I think, you know, you've got to put everything of your season into your Super Rugby jersey. And the problem is with Super Rugby now, you've got international coaches saying form doesn't matter. That's bollocks, that is.
You know what I think was a masterstroke last week? Was Michael Checker went to the UK and spoke to James Horwell. That's an indicator to all you idiots playing Super Rugby that are still in Australia. I'm prepared to go elsewhere. And 100%. I believe that's why he did it.
Waratahs got some issues with goal kicking as well. Lowest in the competition, 55%.
That's average.
Bernard is back. That'll help. Curtly Beale, though, you need to change your boots. I want to talk about one of the Rebels in particular. One in particular, Sean McMahon, their captain. Is that kid franchise or what? Yeah. He is insane.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy you build franchises around. He's the future leader.
He's the current leader.
Yeah, he's the current leader. He's wonderful. He if you go into a team, you want someone like that. He's the Matt Hodgson, isn't he? He just keeps on grafting. And I can't believe if I was in a team with him, I'd be doing everything to step up to his level, and they're not.
Yeah, exactly. And if he scored a try, you'd be dry humping his leg. He's that sort of guy. You need to go and celebrate. You need to celebrate with Sean McMahon. 20 defender beats this season for Sean McMahon. That's the most of any forward in Super Rugby. Follow that man, Rebels. Follow that man. Finally, that brings us to North Harbour Stadium, where Blues dreams go to die. North Harbour Stadium, or QBE Stadium in North Harbour and Auckland's North Shore, will host the Blues taking on the Jaguares. First New Zealand tour, isn't it a ripper? Blues, Hurricanes, Crusaders. I believe that's their tour. That is nuts. If it's not, it's basically similar. They start.
You're right. It's Blues, Hurricanes, Crusaders, and then Sunwolves.
And then the Sunwolves. They start with the Blues, coming off a bye week. The Jaguares, after all the talk, after everyone blew smoke up their butthole, enough to give them bowel cancer, they lost two games at home. This team is not the real deal.
I'm amazed. I truly believe that week one, their first home game, I thought they were overawed and I expected them to bar up in week two, and they didn't. That game last week told me about their season. They were going to take some time to get used to the week in, week out, the travel, usage of bench. The most they ever do is play two or three weeks in a row.
Yeah, but this is the issue for me. They're the Argentinian side. They're basically the Argentinian national side. And this was the argument when they came to the competition, and almost every pundit said, they're a playoff chance. Mm. Look at all the test match players. And I said at the time, I said, yeah, it's all very well to have great test match players, but they're Argentinian test match players. How much success have they enjoyed in South Africa at test match level? How much in Australia at test match level? How much in New Zealand at test match level? I'll tell you how much. Bugger all. So it's not as if this team rolls straight into club footy with a history of success in all of the places they have to go and play. And the other thing about them, I'll figure them out, Steph.
Good, because I haven't.
I'll figure them out. They go to South Africa and play the Cheetahs, fast and loose, and they play fast and loose. They go to the Sharks, who play the most brutal postmodernist rugby you could ever hope never to see, and they play like the Sharks. They get back home. They play fast and loose against the Chiefs, who play fast and loose. Then they face the Stormers, who are the most one-dimensional team in Super Rugby, and they play one-dimensional rugby. The Jaguares have an identity problem. They don't know what they are doing. They don't have their own style.
You've nailed that.
I think I have.
I think you
have. And I don't nail much.
No, you don't.
Look at the score lines, look at the stats. Yeah, and every single one of their game, they have played like the opposition plays. That, to me, says we don't have a plan. We don't have a system. We don't have a way that we're trying to play the game.
Well, it's going to be a shambles at North Harbour then if they're going to play like the Blues.
They're both going to lose this game. First time ever. We're going to have two losers out of a Super Rugby game. Blues will blitz them.
Yeah, they
Blues
should.
Will bonus point this game. I've been waiting for the Blues to fire. They're playing two first fives. Piers Francis gets a debut at 12. Interesting call for me, but they need to give him some time, I think. Know. And after the unfortunate Matt McGann experiment in round two, they've got to leave Ehi there. They've created that now, and they've said, you're our guy. So he stays. Piers Francis at 12, an interesting move. And no Jerome Kano, even though history's against him at that park, even though Jerome Kano is not there, even though they're playing Francis at 12 in his first Super Rugby game, I still think they're a bonus point on the Jaguares.
Yeah, I've said right from the start of the season that the Blues, even before they played their first game, they'll need a bye. Just to reassess.
That's what they'll need a bye before their first game.
No. They will need a bye before they can reassess their season. And then we'll see the best of the Blues after their first bye, because they'll go helter-skelter. They'll get to go training paddock. They'll get to have game plans. They'll get to have Tana and Paul Feeney try and sort them out. Now they've had 2 weeks of no rugby. Reassess. Put your feet on the ground, fellas. This is how we're going to play.
I hope you're right. But my one caveat there is, and I said this to you pre-season, which shows how much I know, I said they'd go 5 straight to start the year. Mm. Best draw of any team. Best draw of any team, maybe bar the Sharks, in Super Rugby. And they're blowing it. That is a big concern for me. Well, that's Super Rugby. Round 6 starts on Friday night, New Zealand time, of course, with the Highlanders taking on the Force. We say this is a no contest.
No contest.
But plenty to look forward to, including our match of the round. Steffi, just tell me what that is.
Oh, look, I do believe it's the Kings hosting the Sunwolves.
At what point ever in the recent past would you have ever thought you would say that
and
publicly?
Don't you dare call it the Battle of the Wooden Spoon. It's
no.
So much more important than that.
We're week 6. Get on the Sunwolves immediately. One thing to finish, Steph, before we finish this Rugby Pass podcast today. As the 31st of March, as we head into round 6 of Super Rugby, the Joe Marler affair. Let's just finish with a little bit of northern flavour. Joe Marler, for those of you living under a rock, is an English prop who was called a posh, see you next Tuesday, and responded by telling Samson Lee to go back to his caravan, Gypsy Boy. A racial taunt in the middle of a test match picked up by a rugby referee. The Six Nations organisers said, nothing to see here, we'll give him a bit of a reprimand. The RFU said, we'll reprimand and deal in-house. World Rugby has said, oh no you don't. We want to take this further, which has led to an extraordinary tweet from the CEO of the Rugby Players Association saying this is a disgrace. That is a throwdown on World Rugby from the RPA. Can't be taken as anything other than that.
Yeah, what's the... why? What? You deal with that stuff, otherwise it escalates and it sets precedents, and we don't want any of that.
I don't think we do need a precedent, but my question is this. Is Joe Marler untouchable? Are we setting a precedent from an RPA point of view where they're going to go into bat for everyone who's ever pulled up on anything like this? That is a tough call to make from the RPA. Watch this space. It'll be interesting to see how World Rugby deals with it from here on. And that'll do it for this week, folks. Round 6 of Super Rugby, as we said, starts Friday night. The Highlanders taking on the Force. Plenty to look forward to. And don't forget, go to rugbypass.com. Get your subscription now. There is so much footy to come, including some amazing test match code. Don't forget the French Top 14 and also the English Premiership. It's all here.